Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That Podcast with Jeff and Gretchen. I bet you couldn't have guessed that, since we introduced ourselves as Jeff.
And Gretchen.
Exactly. This is show number 64, and we welcome you to our humble abode. The phone line is 206-333-1003. See, I'm getting pretty good at announcing that at the top of the show, aren't I?
That's right. Do you ever call it?
Because I always forget. I call it every week.
Okay.
I do, just to keep it alive.
All right. It's alive, then.
But we did get a call this last time from Hawaii. I'm going to play that just a little bit later in the show. So, go ahead and give us a call. Give us your opinions on life and things. And we'll probably play it if it's clean. And it's nice, and it's complimentary. If you start off the call with, like, I love your podcast, you guys are so talented, then you'll get played.
Play it.
It's as easy as that. So it's been a little while, but it's a little more frequency than our last go-around. We had Easter.
That's right, and St. Patrick's Day.
And, you know, I did two fun things. I have a lot of pictures from both things. I hosted my annual St. Patrick's Day party, and I think I mentioned this last year, but for those new listeners, I live in a neighborhood here in Dallas that opens up. There's a street party about 10-minute walk from my neighborhood, but the funner part is that all the neighbors open up their houses, but have little parties in their front lawns and stuff, and it's very friendly environment to walk around, grab some beers, meet the neighbors. I had a bunch of people over, hung out in the front yard. You were invited, Gretchen, but you know, you blew us off because you were too good for us.
Oh, that's what it was. That's right.
But I drank, Gretchen, from 11 in the morning, I was drinking Bellinis, to about 2 or 3 that night. And I don't think I've done that, I mean, in the longest time. And I was so impressed that I could still actually do that. And we had fun. We really did have fun. And everything was in walking distance. We ended up in a bar, after everything else. But that was all walking distance, too. So there was no driving constraints or anything like that.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. So we had a lot of fun. Did you do anything fun for St. Pat's? Why did you blow me off again?
I went to Dallas Blooms.
Boring. Actually, I know some people that went to Dallas Blooms.
Actually, it was really pretty.
No, it's...
It was very pretty.
In fact, they were saying the people that I know that went there also...
Mm-hmm.
Said that you caught it at the peak.
Mm-hmm. I see. There you go.
It was so crowded.
Honestly, even the valet parking was almost all full.
And really?
The best part was the Chia Pet full-size steers. They had steers, and they were made out of different grasses.
Wow.
They were very cool.
Wow.
And they actually had a horse-drawn carriage, too. Covered wagon, all made out of grasses.
Isn't that nice?
Really fun. That's what I was doing, Jeff. Sorry, I wasn't... Wow. Partying with you, but that's what I did.
I'm sure partying with us would have been funner.
Well,
or more fun, I guess. But Dallas Blooms, for those who aren't in the Dallas area, we have our Arboretum, and that's their little spring festival. It's kind of the highlight of the whole Arboretum year,
that's
really.
That's true, yep.
They do a great job over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, did they have any, like, St. Pat's theme stuff at all?
Nope.
No.
Nope, nothing whatsoever.
Well, what fun is that? And then we had Easter.
Yes, we did.
And did the Easter Bunny come visit your house?
I was the Easter Bunny, leaving gifts. The Easter Bunny forgot to give me something, but that's all right. I was the Easter Bunny for the other people, so.
You know, I don't understand it, because I woke up that morning, and I looked all around the house for my Easter basket. And I didn't find anything. I mean, maybe you can help me look, but I couldn't find it. So I don't know.
That bunny is such a good hider, isn't it?
How can the bunny, like, could he have missed my house? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I've been a good boy. Good Christian, Christ is risen boy.
There you go.
But the Easter bunny has nothing to do with religion. I mean, he's a bunny.
Yeah, that's true. He's a fertility bunny.
Is that what it is, a fertility bunny?
Yeah, it's a sign of fertility. Spring.
Really?
Spring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that like a pagan thing?
Yeah, that's kind of where the bunny thing came to be,
I believe.
It was a spring thing.
Like doing it like bunnies.
Doing it like bunnies.
That's funny. I didn't know that when I was a child.
Mm,
my parents didn't share that little fact with me, a little factoid. So you had a nice Easter. You traveled a little bit around Texas. You saw some of our beautiful state here, didn't you?
I did. I toured, San Antonio, Fredericksburg, and Austin.
Oh, cool.
That was fun. Yeah, in 24 hours. Yeah.
Great weather, too. I mean,
it was very nice.
I mean,
it was 80.
Good time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say great weather, but just good time of year in general to see all the sights.
Yeah, the wildflowers weren't quite blooming yet, and that, you know, would have been perfect, but oh, well.
Right, right.
Can't complain. It was very nice.
Well, that's cool. I went to an annual doggy parade. Downtown, well, close to downtown, uptown, and I guess I should post some pictures to the blog, but I have all these pictures of these dogs. My sister Laura, if you're listening, said she wants to come down next year and bring her dog.
Oh.
But she doesn't like to fly, and she's from Duluth, so it's a long drive with a dog.
It's a long drive.
But
maybe she could rent a dog. Come here and rent a dog.
But it doesn't, you know, even then, she's still got the long drive, so I don't know if that'll really happen, but... it would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So come on down, Laura. She did fly to see me a couple years ago, and that was her last time she'll ever fly, she said.
Oh.
And she had to, I think, drink some alcohol in preparation for the trip.
Oh.
You know, some people are just...
You forget that some people are like that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it. You know, when I first started working for American Airlines, I did international consulting, and I also used a flight benefit, but... When I first got on those planes the first couple of times, and of course I had flown for business before, but just not that frequently, I was a little white-knuckled, you know? It's just, but I got over it fast because the benefit overweighed the fear or whatever.
Right. Well, speaking of American and our little problem last week, I flew last Friday, and you know, they started to cancel flights last Wednesday.
Into Thursday too, I guess, right?
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Delta started to cancel on Thursday and Friday, but the wiring issue. So honestly, it must have been pretty severe, or they were afraid of another $10 million fine like Southwest got in order to cancel like 500 and some flights.
Well, my guess is just a guess. My guess is that it really wasn't probably a safety concern. It was probably some worried about being fined.
Mm-hmm.
And also the airline probably made a business decision and said, you know what? During the middle of the week, let's just get this done in one horrible shot instead of...
Well, on my way back from LA on Friday, I sat next to a guy who had been bumped off of two flights on Wednesday. He was a platinum traveler, and they gave him nothing.
Really? Nothing. No, that surprises me.
I was shocked. Yeah. He's like, well, for that inconvenience, they made him wait 10 hours at DFW, gave him nothing, and he's their best customer.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how they treat them.
Poor.
You know? I thought it was just really, really poor.
Yeah.
Just to wake up that morning and find out, oh, we're doing this big safety check now and you're going to be stranded all day.
Yeah.
Because that's a very inconvenient to redo a lot of all your work and your meetings. And
right. Right. It really is. And not to mention, if you get stranded at your destination, you can't get home.
Yes.
You know, business meetings, you can delay, but it's pending, you know.
Yeah. So I just felt, I thought that was bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Well, have you, the AFI festival is going on.
Oh, yeah. Did you go to anything?
It's a big film festival in Dallas, one of the biggest independent film festivals in the country. And I am ashamed to say I went six times last year. I bought zero tickets this year. One of the reasons is my free time really needs to be being spent studying. I'm studying for the PMP exam, which is Project Manager Certification Exam. And hopefully I'll be taking it and finishing it next month. So I can't really justify going off and doing that. But the other thing, and maybe even more importantly, is it was kind of a beating last year. I mean, I love the films that I saw. It was great. Mm-hmm. But every film was a madhouse with people. And I'm glad that it's such a popular festival, you know, because that means that they'll keep coming. But it was just a madhouse, inconvenient. You're always waiting in lines. The films didn't start at the times that they said they were going to start. So it was a lot of waiting and waiting to stop. And it wasn't a pleasant
experience. No, it doesn't sound like you're recommending it to all your friends to go out and
not this year. You know, maybe next year I'll get heavily into it. One friend of mine suggested buying a pass, and they're kind of expensive, like $240, but you get access to a lot of the pre-parties and the opening.
You get to wait in line first.
You do.
You get to the front.
You
of
get
the line.
Like priority in line, and you get to see something like, I don't know, I think for the 240, you get whatever films you want to see, you can go see. So if I really have some time during the AFI, which is, I think it runs like a week and a half next year, I might consider actually doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be a film nerd. And the opening party, they do get celebrities in here. I can't remember who came. Robert De Niro, I think, was there, and a few other celebrities. But they end up at Neiman's afterwards for a party.
No.
And the Dallas blog that I read said all the most beautiful ladies were there. Of course, they wouldn't be looking for me. No. They'd be looking for the celebrities. But still, that's kind of nice to be around the beautiful ladies, like I am right now in the podcasting booth.
Oh, Jeff.
She's turning red.
Oh, yeah.
So can I share with you a crazy dream before we go on?
Okay.
I woke up cracking up.
Cracking yourself up?
Cracking myself up. So I'm at Starbucks yesterday after brunch with some friends. And there was this gentleman, it was the Lakewood Starbucks. And the Lakewood Starbucks is always a little bit more eclectic. Lakewood is a neighborhood in Dallas I live in. It's always a little more eclectic. It gets compared with Austin a bit. So it's kind of cool. You know, you don't see your normal people all the time. This guy, he had a pipe, he had a hat, kind of a fedora-style hat, straight hair, a sweater on. It was hot outside, like a light sweater. And, you know, it just looked like he was trying to be some sort of intellectual. And he was probably a middle-aged to older guy. He had man boobs. And the reason I mention that is because one of my friends said, I wonder if he's really a woman, because look at those man boobs. And so anyways, he had a kind of a mustache and very studious looking glasses. So no big deal, kind of an eclectic guy. But I dreamt last night, and this is merging with the NCAA's Final Four stuff, the basketball. I dreamt that for some reason I was out and I saw a bunch of fans from Kansas University, KU, who are in the Final Four, uh-huh. And they were all dressed like that guy in the fedoras and the pipes. And I was like, oh, he's just a fan. That's their
fan look.
That's their fan look. Isn't that weird? So I just had to share that with you.
So all the KU fans are going to complain, like, oh my God, we don't look like that. We don't have man boobs, and we don't look like a middle-aged intellectual man.
I'm with a pipe.
With a pipe.
You just don't see a lot of pipes these days. Well, on that note.
Well, on that note. What can you say following that, huh?
Not much.
Maybe the nipple piercing.
Yeah, maybe.
Sounds like a nipple piercing lead-in, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. We have some nipple piercing later on. But first, you go.
Let's see.
Take a story.
Heavens, where to start?
She's going to get all intellectual on us.
Actually, I'm going to talk about football. All right, we'll talk about football.
One of my favorite topics.
I don't know a whole lot about football, but I did think this was really interesting. The average age of a football player is about how old would you say? NFL.
Football is a younger man's game. It's got to be very young because your body takes abuse. I would guess 23, 24.
Yep, they're definitely in their 20s. And how much do they average make on average?
$3 million a year?
Nope.
More or less?
Less.
Less, okay. $1 million a
year? $1.6 million.
Okay.
They play for an average of 3 years in the not-for-long league, NFL league.
Not for long.
They're typically in their 20s. Within 2 years of retiring, what do you think happens to them?
They, that's a big question, what happens to them. I mean, some of them get back into football, but I'm guessing you're going with the injury angle. Some of their injuries start to get arthritic and so forth. Although I think that happens later on in life. Like Joe Montana, one of the greatest quarterbacks of our time.
Mm-hmm.
in bad shape, that guy. I mean, he's
and I just saw Dan Marino lost 20 pounds on Nutrisystem.
I know. He was on the HBO NFL. He actually seems to have come out of it really well. And Aikman too.
Well,
but still, you don't know what's going to happen in years ahead for them.
Well, what's really going to happen to 78% of the NFL players retiring at 2 years of retiring, they are either bankrupt, divorced, or jobless. After
really?
They make $1.6 million annually for an average of 3 years,
yep.
More than three quarters of them end up jobless, bankrupt, or divorced.
Huh.
So it's not a pretty picture out there, was really the bottom line. It's just basically, when you think about it, they probably weren't great students.
Probably don't have a lot of fallback stuff.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of fallback stuff. And what do you do when the game that requires your body to...
Right.
To play.
It's a young man's game. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And they say it's tough to have a 9-to-5 job if you've never had one before in your life.
Right.
Franco Harris, who won 13 seasons in the NFL, including four Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
He started a bakery. And he said, if someone had told me, Franco, one day you're going to be selling donuts, I would have said, you're crazy. But
wow.
He took an entrepreneurial path. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't just one of these 3 year in and out guys. He
was
a great one.
Yeah. And most, some NFL players go into franchises. And
I'm surprised I think a lot of them get into coaching to some extent.
To some extent, but I guess there's a lot more of them that don't make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought that was really interesting that they have such a short shelf life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also I have another football story.
Oh, good.
This one's very Dallas related.
Tony Romo?
No, this is Cowboys. The new stadium, the new Cowboys stadium.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think it's going to be worth for the naming rights for the new stadium?
A huge amount. I didn't hear the amount, but I heard a
huge amount.
No, I heard a quick, I just saw a quick headline about the fact that they're really in high bidding right now.
Well, the two centers that are out there now, the Barclays Center and the City Field, they have $400 million deals for over 20 years. That means it's $20 million a year. Citibank and Barclays Bank.
Where are those at?
City Field is in the Yankees, Queens, New York, and Barclays Center is in Brooklyn.
That's crazy.
For the New York Giants.
There's also, by the way, there is a little bit of a movement about getting away from those names. And I think it was San Francisco's Qualcomm Park.
They did.
They went back to Candlestick Park.
They did.
Now,
because they went through three name changes.
They went through three name changes. And
they passed an ordinance that said no more.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, I think Candlestick Park is going away soon anyways. I think they're going to tear it down and build another. So that may be one of the reasons that they did that, too, is because they realized, well, this isn't a lot of opportunity profit going away, but there is a sense around the country that we don't like calling ballparks by corporate names.
Oh, but this Texas stadium is going to be called by a corporate name.
What are the contenders? Well,
they don't know yet. But the Cowboys, I didn't realize this, have the world's most valuable sports franchise.
Yeah, I knew that.
$1.5 billion.
Yeah,
that's more than Manchester United.
Yep.
And the New York Yankees.
Yep.
So the stadium costs are going to be $1.1 billion, the new stadium. It's going to get the Cotton Bowl in 2010 and the Super Bowl in 2011.
Right.
The naming rights will probably be announced in late 2008, the beginning of 2009. It's going to be a multifaceted marketing strategy. It's going to be exclusive promotional rights, new products. They're going to be able to sell products to the team itself. And they're looking for a very well-established brand because the Cowboys think they have, obviously, a mega brand, a well-established brand. So they're talking right now, telecom companies are a possibility, and the same as energy companies, such as Irving-based ExxonMobil.
Lovely.
And that's, wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be gross.
An energy company would be a natural fit.
Now, I'm thinking about putting a bid for this in that podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Because that would be...
Well, did you hear that other... that Smirnoff Center is now superpages.com center?
Yeah.
Which is so retarded.
You
can't even say it.
And this is the whole point. At some points, nobody knows it's that. They're going to call it whatever it was.
That's right.
People are just going to call it whatever it was.
Right. Naming rights go back to the 1980s when the Los Angeles Lakers sold the Forum to Great Western Bank. That was the very first naming deal, which I can remember that. I lived in L.A. then.
You were in L.A. at the time.
That was so, that was, yeah, I remember when they did that. It's like, oh, why did they do that?
Yeah.
You know? But this year, there's, and as you said, the Candlestick Park has changed back. And recently, Sam Zell, who owns the Chicago Cubs, considered selling the naming rights to Wrigley Field, and there was a huge community outcry.
Yeah.
Absolutely yeah. not. He yeah. could not do it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work. Like Houston Astros' Enron Field is now Minute Maid Park. And the Texas Rangers' AmeriQuest Field is now the Rangers' Ballpark in Arlington.
And Rangers' Ballpark in Arlington is very nice, but Minute Maid Park, I would challenge our listeners, except unless you're from the Houston area, no one knows it's Minute Maid Park, you know?
I know.
Do you know that the Starplex down in Fair Park, it's, mm-hmm. now, it's our outdoor yes. big amphitheater for uh-huh. bands come in? I was talking
to a
friend.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the Smirnoff thing, right?
Yes. I was talking to a friend and I said, oh yeah, I think they're playing down at Starplex. And she goes, oh no, it's called, and she names some name that I never heard of.
It's not even the Super Pages?
It's not, or maybe it's Super Pages now.
Superpages.com.
Maybe that's what it is
now. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's what it is. I didn't know that. I still call it Starplex, which is the name it was when it was created. Smirnoff, I kind of know, but Super Pages, come on.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's not going to stick.
So anyhow, so they're expecting that this new stadium is going to go for more than $20 million a year, and it'll be longer than a 20-year deal.
So if we get the money together. Okay, I've got $5. How much do you have?
I got a 20.
All right, so we got 25. So the rest, we will leave this,
up to the listeners,
we'll put
right?
a PayPal up on the, if you like our show and you want to see the new Cowboy Stadium named after this and that with Jeff and Gretchen Stadium. I'm kidding. I'll never put a PayPal on our website. That seems cheesy. But it would be cool to have this Cowboys Stadium named after us.
Oh, it's got to be better than ExxonMobil. Can you imagine? Just when everybody groaned, it just has such a bad connotation.
It's not the right at this time. Not with gasoline prices the ire of people.
But the 10 biggest names right now are this Barclays Center, which is about to open, Citi Field, Reliant Stadium in Houston, FedEx Field in Maryland, the American Airlines Center here in Dallas, Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Minute Maid Park in Houston, University of Phoenix Stadium, which is sponsored by the Apollo Group, and Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, and Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia.
Wow.
That's so sad.
That's so sad.
And Lincoln Financial Field.
I know. Whoa.
Whoa.
And you know, there's actually two American Airlines centers in the country. Ours.
Oh, there are?
Ours, and it's either in, I think it's Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, we
or maybe that's maybe Chicago has a United Airlines Center, and but so, oh, Miami has American Airlines Center.
Oh, well, we don't want to get them confused. So we'll stay tuned, listeners, and we'll fill you in on what Jerry Jones names it.
Yeah, exactly.
God. Oh.
Well, I was at the Symphony on Friday night, getting my culture on.
Okay. Did you have another weird dream?
No, but I had a weird observation.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thumbing through the program, as I'm oft to do.
Uh-huh.
And I come across a list, this big list of, like, apparently it's a women's group, you know, supportive of the symphony and mm-hmm. so forth. And I scan down the list, as I'm wont to do. And the names, I was going to bring it and rattle the names off, but I forgot to bring it to the podcast. I think I threw the program away. But all the programs were like Mrs. Kenneth Smith, Mrs. John Phillips, Mrs. Stuart Sutcliffe. Mrs. John Lennon. No, I don't mean those names. They were all Mrs. and then a guy's name.
Huh.
And I thought, wow, this is 2008. I can't believe
they're all Mrs.
This seems so 1950s.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it?
But it could be that's the generation, though. You are talking symphony.
Maybe that's
you
the generation.
You are talking the symphony, and you are talking that generation which sponsors the symphony.
So that's possibly. Maybe they requested it that way. But I'm also wondering if there is a cultural thing going on that I'm unaware of.
And it's Dallas.
It's like an acknowledgement that it's really the fellow's money and the woman is involved in little social philanthropical groups, but it's the guy's money and maybe that's just the way it's done. Now, they did have some MS, Ms., mm-hmm. you know, in a woman's name. Obviously, if she was some old skanky spinster. I'm kidding.
And the one token gay man.
But I was just shocked.
That is unbelievable.
I just thought, wow, this is a program from the 1950s. What's going on here, man?
Well, we did do the demographics of the Playbill, right? And it is our age.
It is our age?
It's our age, yeah. Yeah, that's the average of who goes. So yeah. You figure, you know, half of them are older. And the symphony, it's got to be higher, though, Jeff. Come on, the symphony. Is there anybody at the symphony that doesn't have gray hair? Except maybe you?
There's a few people that die at the symphony every time I go. It's like, you know, the heart attack victims come in, the paramedics come in. And
Symphony's a challenging one.
Now, but if you were married and if you were involved in a little ladies group, would you be Mrs.?
Hell no.
I didn't think you would.
Oh, no, but you're right. It's such a different generation, though. And this is the South. This must just be how it's done here.
Yeah. If anybody knows, has any insight into this sort of cultural thing, give us a holler.
When you give the guys money, do you have to give them credit?
I know.
The bottom line.
Give us a call at 206-333-1003. Because really, I think it's so insulting. The woman's name is nowhere.
Yeah,
it's
you're right.
Mrs. John Smith.
Yeah, so you have no idea what her name is.
No idea who she is. Now, again, people maybe in this inner circle that know each other, so, you know, philanthropical symphony charity probably knows who that is, but it just seems weird.
That is totally weird. Can you imagine if it was the other way around?
Oh, I know. I know.
And you were Mr. Ann Smith, and nobody knew who you were?
Yeah. Yeah, what's up with that? I know.
Yep. Pretty weird.
Yeah, pretty weird.
Pretty weird. So, do you know anybody who drives a Jaguar?
You know, I know a friend of mine, a woman, is all excited about a new Jaguar that she's buying. Well, so that's as closest as I get.
I know quite a few people in LA that have them, right? And they're just, when you think Jaguar, what do you think?
I think kind of old people, but I know they're trying to update their image. Yeah. And you know.
You think British?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're owned by Ford, or they were owned by Ford until last week when Ford couldn't make a profit after 10 years and sold them. And guess who Ford sold them to? This is what the most interesting thing is. Ford sold them to India's oldest and largest conglomerate. They sold them to Tata Motors.
Tata. You know, I think I did hear about
Motors
that. Yeah.
Out of India.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty ironic that... a former British colony is buying this venerable British institution called Jaguar and Land Rover, actually. Ford Motor Company gave up on them, sold them to Tata for a mere third the original purchase price.
Wow, so they took a bath on
them. They paid $2.5 billion for Jaguar in 1989 and $2.7 billion for Land Rover in 2000. They sold them for Tata for a combined $1.7 billion.
They spent
more than $10 billion in the past 10 years with them.
And Ford has had Land Rover while it's gained popularity. I mean, you know, no one heard of Land Rover 10 years ago, so they've had it during the, quote, good years.
Right.
I guess they just couldn't make it profitable.
They could never make Jaguar make money.
Hmm.
So Ford is going to continue to supply engines, transmissions, and other components for 5 to 9 years. And the Indian company says it expects no significant changes for Jaguar or Land Rover's 16,000 employees. But I did think that was pretty ironic that Tata, and Tata, by the way, is the owner of the Nano. And this happened back in January, but you might remember that the Nano is the world's least expensive car at $2,500.
Yeah, I saw a picture
remember
of that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So the Nano is the people's car priced at $2,500, which is half the cost of the next cheapest car out there. It's a four-door compact with a snub nose and a sloping roof. It can seat four people or five if they squeeze, and it was developed after the engineers observed families of four riding on scooters unsafely. So they decided, well, if a family of four is going to crowd onto a scooter in India, why don't we make it safer?
Right. Yeah.
So it was.
But I wonder how safe it is.
Well, there's a picture of it. It's only going to be sold in India.
Yep, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's supposed to meet all the emissions regulations.
Right.
And they're targeting first-time buyers and also families who are saving or rickshaw drivers. But, you know, the national average in India is $2 a day. National earnings income is $2 a day. So it's going to be a stretch for a lot of families in India. But
Well, certainly not of as much of a stretch as buying a Jaguar.
That's true. So now the Nano is going to be part of the esteemed family along with the Jaguar and the Land Rover. I was teasing all my friends that own Jaguars.
Well, you know, that's a real family of cars. Now, I will have to say, though, this woman that I know, she's about my age. I think she's got a similar job than me. I don't think she's, you know, any, you know, super earner or anything, but, you know, comfortable. And she showed me the car that she's buying with the brochures and stuff. And yeah, I went home and looked it up, and it was like 70 or 80,000 or something like that. And I just thought, man, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't even like the car that much. I mean,
yeah. It used to be a classic, but it was long and lean and just so pretty.
I mean, I'm sure it's still a classic, but I guess the idea of spending that much money on a car these days, and I'm in the market now because my car is...
Oh,
yeah.
Yours is kind of...
It's 12 years.
Time to retire.
They wanted to put like $2,500 worth of suspension in it, and I said, nah, not this time.
Yeah.
Not this time. So, you know, I'm kind of in the market. Well, I don't even know what I want.
Or maybe
the
Nano.
I like what I have. I looked at it.
$2,500.
Buy five of them.
One for every day of the week. The color. No, actually, I can see you in a smart car. You can unfold your body as you get out. You know?
What is a smart car?
The little smart car. The one that's the Daimler smart car that's about, the teeniest car in the world. The one that parks sideways.
Yeah.
They're being sold in Dallas now.
Really?
Yeah, I've actually seen a couple.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, once you see it, you go, oh my God, this is the one you see all over Europe.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, now they're being sold in the United States.
Huh. Yep. I'll probably stick with BMW, but as opposed, but just because, well, I'll tell you, here's the reason. I've had my car for 12 years.
Yeah.
And you know what, Gretchen? I still like my car.
I've never
felt that way with any other make. It just still feels good to drive. I kind of don't want to give it up. So I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to give it up, I'll buy a BMW. And the other thing is I've never bought it's not quite true, but I normally buy new cars because, like, ooh, got to get a new car. That's what's cool.
Right.
I have no interest anymore. I guess I'm just getting old. I'll probably buy a 2 or 3 year old one, save the depreciation cost and, you know, and get a perfectly good car.
Yeah.
I just don't have that lust for cars like I did when I was younger. I think I'm probably similar to some people, but then I think other people are maybe the exact opposite way, like this woman friend of mine buying a Jaguar. It would never even enter my vocabulary to do that. But anyways, I'll see what I can get out of it. I still like my car. I'm so unmotivated to go to the salesperson.
But I think after driving a new one for about 1 week, you would totally forget that old one immediately.
Well, if it's a BMW, but here's the deal. Like, I remember my last car was a Toyota or whatever. And as it got towards the end of its life, I would go rent a car and I'd be like, oh, I don't want to go back to my car.
Yeah.
And now when I rent new cars, now albeit they're not the nicest cars in the world, they're, you know, the rental cars.
Right.
I'm always so happy to come home in my car.
Yeah.
Even though it's a little beat up on the inside and got the wear and tear, I still love it so.
Aww.
So it had to be a BMW. I was thinking about a Mercedes since it's still a German feel.
Uh-huh.
But the reviews on the Mercedes lately, they're not quite as good as they used to be. So I'm going to stick with what's been good to me. All right, I got now another observation.
Okay.
All right, another guy at the gym.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So I went to the gym as I'm wont to do. That's my new phrase, as I'm wont to do. And there's this guy that comes in, and he's probably 60 to 65, maybe. Looked, you know, reasonably in shape. Like he was a gym guy.
Okay.
But not, I mean, you know, as in shape as a 60 to 65-year-old can be. But here's what he's wearing. He's got a t-shirt, and it's tucked in to these shorts, and the shorts are super tight and super short. Now, one of the first instincts is you think, well, maybe he's gay, and maybe that's sort of a gay thing to wear. But it's not. Gay people don't dress like that. So it's kind of Richard Simmons-ish.
Yeah.
And I just tried to think, what could he be thinking? You know, do people... there's two schools of thought here, because I did talk about this with some of my friends. There's two schools of thought. And one is that you wear what you wear at that age, and you say, screw it, I don't care what other people think. I wear what I wear, because I like wearing what I wear. And obviously, his prolific days were probably in the 60s and 70s, when some of that fashion was a little bit more, you know...
Acceptable.
More acceptable. Mm-hmm. But... you go into a gym now and just make a quick glance around, and all the men were all wearing the same exact shorts. You know, they're the baggy things, and they're comfortable. The baggy shorts that come down to the knees.
Like the basketball players.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're all wearing those. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, doesn't he look around and say, wow, I'm wearing something unique and weird. I don't fit in. So the other possibility I thought is maybe, you know, he's getting back to working out. If you're not working out, doesn't really know the gym. Maybe his wife bought him this stuff because she doesn't know. And he shows up at the gym with this stuff and he's like really embarrassed when he looks around. Or maybe he just, that's just his thing. Anyway, I'm
have
always...
Have you seen him again?
No, I just saw him a couple days ago. I wanted desperately for the podcast to go up and talk to him, but I couldn't think of an angle that just didn't sound insulting, you know? And like I said, hey, he looked in pretty decent shape and everything. I mean, I'm not going to put him down. I wanted to ask him.
Maybe if you see him the next time.
I wanted to ask him,
he's wearing.
You know, why?
What are you thinking?
What are you thinking? Mm-hmm. And it would be better even if it was untucked, but the shorts were ridiculous. And then, of course, I thought, where would he buy those? Those shorts, they look like women's shorts, honestly.
Wow.
So.
Now you're crossing the line here.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't want to go there.
But again, if you think, well, maybe he's gay. Okay, maybe he's gay, but so what? Gay people don't dress like that at the gym. They dress like, you know, baggy shorts and gym shirt of some
maybe
sort.
Maybe he's a she.
I don't know. No, I'm sure. I'm sure it was he. Well, it wasn't like some androgynous looking guy. It was a guy. Anyway, I wish I had more guts sometimes. And go up and, you know. So, what
do
you think?
Excuse me, sir. Why are you dressed so inappropriately?
What do you think? Because people do get older, and they do dress inappropriately in some ways. They sort of dress like they dressed in their formidable years.
Yes,
and their hairstyles
did.
Often are their hairstyles in their formidable years. How often do you still see a woman our age wearing that feathered hair look that we had in the 70s? Women had in the 70s? I see it occasionally, believe it or not.
Yep,
and I just wonder what the hairdresser is saying to them.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Where do you go to get that done? Yeah.
Yeah. But you see it every now and then. And they got compliments on it 30 years ago, and they're thinking, well, this dude looks good. I don't know.
Wonder if he's a runner, because I notice runners sometimes wear shorts that are shorter than the rest of the...
It's a good observation, but let me tell you, these were not running shorts.
Oh, they weren't running shorts?
No,
oh.
They were tight. Oh. Runners have short shorts, but right. But they're loose.
They're loose around
yeah.
the legs.
That would not probably give me a second look if he was wearing those shorts.
But they were really tight. Huh?
Yes.
Maybe he wanted you to look at his body.
Well, again, it's weird. Because no one else does that.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to keep us posted if you see him again.
I will.
Or what do you think, listeners? What's your take on the old man and the inappropriate clothes?
Call us at 206-333-1003 and give us your take.
Hey, so if I give you this list of names, tell me what you think these are.
Okay.
Rocky, Bailey, Jake, Charlie, Max, Toby, Cody, Bella, Molly, Lucy, Daisy, Sophie, Sadie.
The most popular names of new kids.
No.
No, okay.
How about the most popular dog names?
Oh, really? Dog names.
Dog names. Where's Spot? Where's Fido?
Where's
the
Rover?
Whole point. Spot, Fido, Rover. They're gone.
I will have to say I've never in my life met a dog named Spot or Rover or Fido. Never.
Right.
I never have.
Right. Well,
yeah.
That's today's generation. If you'll notice, they are people names. Over 50 years ago, Spot was common. Now I don't know any dogs that don't have a human name, said this one woman that they were quoting in the article. Yep. Top dog names for male dogs are Max, Buddy, and Rocky. Females, Bella, Molly, and Lucy. The veterinarian pet insurance company formulated this database. Naming dogs in the same fashion as children was common even in ancient Rome. And in ancient Egypt, they often went so far as to bury their dogs in family plots. And so today, dog owners are actually exhibiting a similar kind of care.
Yeah. They're family members.
Because we have dog hotels, dog nuptials. As you said, you went to the dog park and you saw dogs dressed up in clothes.
At the Lakewood Starbucks, I saw a advertisement, very prominent advertisement, for a pet photographer.
That's right. And you can get pet portraits.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's the deal if you're going to name a dog now.
So it's kind of trendy to name them after humans, but it's actually got roots in a very ancient, what we used to do.
It's actually reflecting on how important we think pets are in our household now. They're integral members of the family like a child.
Yeah, I think so.
So there you have it.
Wow. How about that? So what do you name your pets?
Oh, I don't have any right now, but they were. I had cat names, I think.
What were the names?
My turtle was named Rocky.
Really?
Yeah, because I found him under a rock. It seemed kind of appropriate, right?
Seems real. Put a lot of creative brain control into that one.
I had a cat named Thumper because she jumped like a rabbit.
Thumper, that's good.
I had another cat named Fat Cat because that was just appropriate and obvious.
How did you come up with that one? How would you like to go through life as Fat Gretchen? She's not fat, by the way.
But I mean, obviously it rhymed and she was a cat. And when I found her, she was
fat.
A little pudgy. Yes, she was. I thought she was pregnant. She was so fat.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually a nice name for her. But she never gave birth after all the months kept ticking along and she never gave
birth. Expecting, nothing. It's just blubber.
Yep. So Fat Cat seemed appropriate.
Well, now, in that study, is it cats that get human names too, or are cats just a different animal?
This was purely dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the doggy parade was funny. Some of the dogs were, pretty creative, how they dressed them up. Well, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. Oh, actually, let's get back to this. We're going to talk about pierced nipples right after this. A voicemail from Hawaii to correct us on some concepts from our last show about the great state of Hawaii. So listen up.
Hi, my name is Ken. I live in Honolulu. Jumping the shark, you were right about where it came from. However, what it is in TV land is that it's an episode that just goes over the top trying to get people back to the show. It's not, really bad episode. It's just one that's kind of really wild. It's like they had a show called Seventh Heaven where some preacher had a bunch of kids and stuff like that, and then the show started waning, so they had twins, and now they had like 12 or 13 kids hanging around. And you guys were also saying that you weren't sure how many states were not on the daylight savings time. You forgot Hawaii. Hawaii's still a state. We do. We are part of the United States. Okay? We don't change times either. All right. Bye.
Oh, did you see Aloha Airlines just went bankrupt?
Aloha?
Aloha. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that's the job I almost took last summer?
Are you serious? Yeah, you should read the reports. They've been in operation 60 years, and they just went bankrupt.
I mean, they were bought by United, weren't they?
Oh, I don't remember. I just read the first paragraph.
Okay, I need to check that.
Yeah. Well,
see, again, more evidence of the fact that I live a charmed life. Seriously.
That's right.
Seriously.
Can you imagine if you had moved there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
God.
Wow, that's interesting. I wonder if they're just going to disband. I'll read the article, but are they going to disband it? Did you get that far?
I didn't read that far. Okay. Yeah. Mm.
Wow, yeah, they and Aloha and Hawaiian Air, they've been, the local competitors, cooperative competitors in a way, for years and years. It's a real tradition.
Yeah, maybe not anymore.
Well, one of the things that's driving that, I know, that one of the concerns when I was out interviewing is the low-cut airline that was, owned by who? I can't remember now, but they were coming in and undercutting all their prices.
Hmm.
So
I wonder if that did him in.
Yeah, yeah. And this, well, and that, here's the deal, though. It's kind of weird because that airline, and I wish I could remember the name, that airline was also provided commuter service for some of United Airlines hubs, okay? So United bought a part of Aloha. So Aloha, at the time I was there, that was all happening. Aloha said, well, this should probably ease up some of this pressure on Hawaii because United will probably say, hey, stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't low cut our Hawaiian airfares now that we got a piece of that.
Right.
So anyway, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
All right. I promised you pierced nipples. And Gretchen's going to show off her pierced nipples right now. Oh, my God. Look at those. We jest. Or do we? No, you were talking about this a little bit before, Gretchen, not on the show, but off the air. There was a Texas woman who was on a flight from Lubbock to Dallas on February 24th, and the TSA stopped her for because they did the scan, and she had metal on her nipples. It was pierced nipples.
Mm-hmm.
She offered to, you know, let them look at it.
Right.
She offered to have them, you know, feel her up a little bit to see what they were. And they would not do any of that. They would not let her on the flight until she had to take them off. To take them off, she needed a set of pliers, and it was a real pain. Okay, we had a little bit of interruption because we got some static. I diagnosed the problem. Guess what? It's another microphone cord. Gee, what a surprise. These microphone cords go off all the time. And this is going to be a microphone cord that's a little bit harder to replace because it's for one of my fancy-dancy tube mics, which doesn't take a normal mic. So we still might get a little static a little bit later. We'll see how it goes. But we'll get through this. We've got 15 minutes left. We were talking about the nipple piercing and how
the pliers.
And the pliers. You had to take them off with the pliers. And I guess it was especially painful to put them back in.
Oh, God.
So she sued. She said...
Was it American?
Yes, it was. It was a TSA. It really wasn't.
Oh,
alive,
that's right,
so
TSA.
It didn't really
mm-hmm.
matter.
And she got Gloria Allred, which good for her.
She got what?
Gloria Allred.
What is that?
The lawyer in Los Angeles who does all these famous cases.
Really?
Famous lawyer. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She does all the sexual discrimination cases.
Oh, wow. Well, there's good news here. The TSA reversed their policy. They changed their policy, and here's an excerpt from it. TSA has reviewed the procedures themselves and agreed that they need to be changed. In the future, TSA will inform passengers that they have the option to resolve the alarm through a visual inspection of the article in lieu of removing the items in question. And the blog that I read this from said, of course, a visual inspection? Something tells me job applications at TSA just went up.
What do they do about pierced penises? I mean,
visual inspections? Visual inspections, baby. You want to be a TSA agent now?
Lord.
But what about belly?
Yeah,
belly rings. Those are extremely common. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't believe this is the first time that this has been an issue.
Pretty amazing. And maybe these jerks were the ones that asked her to take it out, and that's,
right.
that just put her over the edge. Because it would be hard to get out.
Yeah,
they close up. And
they close up exactly.
Up. Mm-hmm.
They're from Lubbock, after all. They don't like piercings out in West Texas. Okay, sorry, all our Lubbock listeners.
I think she's still
just kidding.
I think she's still suing, though.
Yeah, I think she
even though
is.
They changed their policy, I think she's still suing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as long as I'm on an airline roll.
Yeah, okay.
I got one more stranger story. This happened on American Airlines.
Okay.
This woman was 21-year-old woman was on a flight from Dallas into LA, getting in LA kind of late. She fell asleep, as she's wont to do. Okay, I'll stop saying that. She was destined for spring break on March 19th. She flew blah, 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 blah. And she slept most of the flight. She woke 20 minutes before landing when the pilot announced her descent. When she opened her eyes, she saw that an unknown man had moved into a seat next to her and was staring at her as he was masturbating.
Yes, I heard this.
So it gets worse.
Oh, God.
The woman turned towards the window in embarrassment, and in an act of nervousness began to run her fingers through her hair when she noticed a substantial amount of an extremely sticky substance in her hair.
Oh, God.
So she began to cry and tried to get the attention of a flight attendant, but was unsuccessful. A passenger in the row in front of the woman comforted her and verified that it was semen in her hair.
Oh, God.
So when the plane landed, of course, the man was arrested. Now he moved his seat to sit next to her and then masturbated in her hair.
Oh, God.
What is up with people?
Oh, God.
Is it the sexual, frustrated country that we live in where, you know?
Oh, that's unbelievable. Is she suing?
Yeah, she is suing. She's seeking punitive damages and a jury trial.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think she was saying that nobody would come to her aid, as I recall. Hearing that.
Well, like she was screaming for a flight attendant. Because they were on final
approach. Maybe they were descending and they couldn't come.
Was it.
Yeah. God. How horrible.
Man. But isn't that supposed to be good for the hair? I mean, can she really complain?
That is so sick.
You know what's worse is, like, for some reason, 21 years old, too. It seems like... Poor girl.
Yeah.
I mean, it should matter any age, but just 21 seems, she's going to go enjoy her spring break. Sounds nice, little 21-year-old, and she gets semen on her hair.
At least they did the right thing and arrested him.
Ugh. Oh, well, that's a no-brainer, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
And why wasn't somebody across the aisle? Why didn't they see it?
It was probably a late night, and people were probably kind of sleeping and stuff. You know how the cabin lights are kind of off at that time.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
You know, it's so laid back. It probably was not a very full flight, I'm guessing. I mean, he obviously went up and sat next to her.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, now, when I do that, I just make sure I don't get caught.
Oh, God. Oh, that is not a pleasant... Oh, God, Jeff. I'm going to get it. Let's not go there. Doesn't your mother listen to this?
Yeah, she does.
Oh, Lord.
Mom, I don't do that.
Lord, she's going to say, I thought I raised him better. And he's been in the airline industry all these years. Now we know. Now we know.
Yeah. It's that allure of the sleeping woman's hair. Well, that kind of reminds me of something else. I saw an article recently about some guy that was caught exposing himself in public, and what his deal was, he would go outside in his backyard and make love to his metal picnic table. And finally his neighbors saw it and called him in, and he was like a repeat offender of this picnic table. He had a love affair with his picnic table. Now what's up with that? I don't even know how that's done. I mean, I guess a man can rub theoretically against anything, but picnic table?
Wonder what her name was.
I don't know. But subsequently, I went to some great picnic table porn sites. It was picnic
imagine.
Table on picnic table action, baby. It's good. So there's a lot of weirdos out there, man.
I saw two squirrels doing it in my yard the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah, right on the tree.
I don't think I've ever... They have no shame.
They can do it, and they're vertical.
Really?
They can do it. I thought that was really
That's pretty
kind
cool.
of clever.
Yeah. Because they got a balance on the tree branch, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I bet it doesn't last very long.
No, it was quick.
It was quick.
It was quick.
I have a lot of squirrels in the back. I never see them screwing. Squirring squirrels. Try to say that three
have
times real fast.
Have you ever seen baby squirrels? You hardly ever see a baby squirrel. Isn't that interesting?
They must nest until they must probably get
they
to
nest
a mature.
Until they're old.
Well, some animals get to a mature size very quickly.
Oh,
maybe that's what squirrels do.
Yeah, because how often do you see babies?
Yeah,
little baby squirrels.
Never see little
around?
Puppy
yeah.
squirrels.
Shoot. Hey, so where do you think all your tax dollars go?
What is it? 40% go to the military, and a lot of go
military
to social services. And
military is second biggest spending.
Second biggest.
Second
number
biggest.
One is paying down the debt, maybe.
Nope.
I don't think it's a social service, but I may be wrong. What is it?
Social Security.
Is it Social Security?
Social Security is the number one place
wow.
that your taxes go. Yeah.
I did not
followed
know that.
Followed by military spending.
Okay.
Followed by Medicare.
Huh.
And this one kills me. Homeland Security is next.
Really?
Homeland Security. All those TSA officers
yeah.
that are ripping out nipple rings.
Yeah.
Here they are.
Woohoo.
Then food and nutrition assistance. I just heard tonight, record 28 million folks on food stamps.
Oh, my gosh.
And there it is right there. And food prices went up 5% last year. Then the National Institutes of Health. I wouldn't have realized that, but I guess that's where we spend for food for drug research and, you know,
right.
research. Then international development and humanitarian aid. Then disaster relief. Then the federal prison system. Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
Wow. That's where our money goes. So
didn't we report on a recent show that we have the largest national prison system of all countries?
Yes.
The most incarcerated per population, per capita.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. They definitely don't say where the money is to pay down the debt, because you'd think that would be in here somewhere, too.
Yeah. That's...
Well, maybe because we're not paying it down.
I was just going to say.
This is why it's $7 trillion. We're not paying it down. So maybe,
you know, as bad as Bush is, and I always harp against this, you know, he's not even a good conservative because he's not fiscally conservative, you know?
Right.
I don't understand why he's not equally hated among all.
Oh,
I guess he kind of is. But
right.
still, there's some conservatives that still think he's greatness, and I don't know why. But I still, part of me says, you know, Clinton had the budget balanced.
Had a surplus.
Just 8 years ago.
Wow.
So we're not so out of the woods. I mean, I know it's not completely reversible quickly, but it's only 8 years ago. We can still get there. You know. But. All right. Well, Dallas-Fort Worth, little growth statistics. Dallas grew up last year.
I know. I had that.
It was the largest gain. Not percentage gain, though.
No, not percentage gain.
But the largest total gain of any metropolitan area. We added 162,000 residences between July 2006 and July 2007. What was even surprising about that, Gretchen, is these are mostly transplants and births.
Yep.
Actually, they had like 100 and, no, like something like 20,000 births, but mm-hmm. they also had 20,000 less immigrants.
Right.
We have less immigrants in Texas.
Right.
Very surprising. So those two canceled each other out. Three other Texas cities were in the top 10, Houston, Austin, and San Antonio. Atlanta saw the second largest population jump. Phoenix was third, followed by Houston, Riverside. Where is Riverside again? Is it part of the Inland Empire?
It's the Inland Empire
yeah,
in Los Angeles.
I thought. Okay. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Austin, Las Vegas, and San Antonio. Which city doesn't belong in that list? Chicago.
Yeah.
So all these are southern cities. In fact, of the 50 fastest growing metro areas, 27 were in the south, 20 were in the west, 2 were in the midwest, Chicago and one other one. Guess what lost more, 3 times as many people as any other metro area?
Detroit.
And other losing areas were Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Columbus, Georgia, Youngstown, Ohio, and Buffalo, New York. You know, this is the same trend that it was 10 years ago. Cities in the South and the West get bigger. Cities in the Midwest and the Northeast. By the way, no cities in the Northeast grew.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the Texas economy,
yeah,
and
is,
I got to say, we've got this state as got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the housing prices are very low.
Right.
The jobs are plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
We grow. Is it luck? Is it, you know, cyclical? Is Texas going to suffer, you know, in 10 years to New York and Michigan's benefit? I just don't know what's going on. I mean,
and we're number 4 now, 6.1 million people.
Yeah.
We're ahead of Philadelphia,
yeah.
Los Angeles, and New York.
Absolutely.
So number 4, yeah, they said it's definitely a ripe climate, and as long as the housing is affordable and jobs are plentiful. Did you hear that the woman from the Chamber of Commerce gets questions about, we'd like to move our company to Dallas-Fort Worth, but do you have 50 engineers for us?
Yes, I saw that. We must have gotten the same article.
How do you not have 50 engineers? She said, well, we're never sure. You know.
Well, that's the other thing. There's been some layoffs in this area. There's a huge amount of technical workforce that is readily employable here.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I just don't know what Texas is doing right. I really don't, but I'm not knocking on wood. Right now, we're living in a good place.
No, that's right. And did you see the top 10 most polluted cities in the United States?
No, I did not see that.
And none are in Texas. There you go. None.
You really? No, I thought Houston and Dallas were both sort of...
Not the top 10.
No kidding.
No, number one is exactly what you would think it would be, Los Angeles.
LA with the smog, yeah.
I was just there on Friday and, you know, flying in. It was actually clear, but even though it was clear, there was still a cloud that you had to look through.
It
wasn't as dense that you couldn't see buildings or objects in the distance, but there's still this, it could just the visible layer of that sits in the valley because of the fact that it's surrounded by mountains on three sides. It just traps.
How about that?
It just traps the particle. So it gets an F. It continues to get an F. Second worst was Pittsburgh, which is surprising, but it's near a lot of coal-fired power plants.
I didn't realize Pittsburgh was so polluted.
And it's a couple major trucking routes. So it has a lot of particle and ozone pollution. Then Bakersfield, which was really surprising.
Huh.
Bakersfield, California. And Birmingham, Alabama.
I didn't know that either. Birmingham, Alabama.
Then Detroit, which you would expect because of the manufacturing center. Then Cleveland. It has a heavy manufacturing base. Then here's the one that surprises everybody. Visalia, California, where they grow everything from fruit to cattle.
Yeah.
It's heavy cow agriculture, pollution. But it's diesel tractors and farm equipment.
How about that?
And the trucks that are needed to transport it all.
So when we say pollution, do we mean pollution that is just, produced by that area, or pollution that's sort of because of the geometry and atmosphere in those areas, it kind of stays around
stays
and makes things
areas.
Unpleasant.
It stays in those areas, and the big contributors are traffic, coal-fired power plants, and industry emissions.
Okay.
So just even by the fact
part of that
geography.
And part of that is geography, right?
As
you were talking about with L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, boy.
So there you have it.
Well, that's good, but still in summertime, we have, it seems like every other day is an ozone alert day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but we're not one of the worst 10.
Yeah.
So, and none in Texas. So,
well,
everybody, come on down.
Come on down.
Come on
we
down.
Don't know. We don't want you here.
Yeah,
sharing our good life.
I was going to say, the roads are, everybody complains about the traffic, which I laugh at.
You never hear me complaining about the traffic.
Yeah.
Of course, I've been doing the reverse commute ever since I've been in Dallas.
So anyways, I guess that's going to be
the show. Well, one little quick hit here. Did you see where Hillary is not paying her bills?
Oh, yeah. She's out of money again.
All these all these little mom and pops that help her do arranging exhibitions and shows in little cities and stuff. She's not paying those bills.
Oh.
And it is a little bit of hypocritical because she's building up the small business person. She's not paying the bills. Yeah, it's not a good situation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are now saying that she should get out.
Yeah, and I don't really think that's fair because there's 13 states that haven't voted yet,
and
we are in the middle of primaries.
I have a feeling, and again, I don't know this. I'm no insider. Howard Dean, the chairman of the Democratic National Party, has also publicly said no, she shouldn't get out because all the states haven't voted.
Right.
What I have a feeling is that that's what people say because that's the right thing to say because people haven't voted. But I'll bet party insiders are probably getting ready to wrap this thing up. Because they want to get ready for the fight.
No, I just don't think it's fair to the people who haven't voted yet. Doesn't their vote count?
No.
So if you just happen to get in one of the states, it's at the end. Your vote doesn't matter.
Well, what if
it's already been decided for you?
I mean, you can make that argument in the extreme. What if McCain won it before all the Republican primaries were over? Those voters didn't count. What are you going to do?
Well, there really wasn't a contest. It wasn't close. It was
right.
He was a runaway.
Right. But this one, they say, if everything keeps going the same way.
Remember what Bill Clinton said? On June 1st, he was in third place 8 years ago. Ross Perot was first.
Ross Perot?
Perot was first.
I thought he was an independent. I can't remember.
Yeah, he was. But Ross Perot was still first in the polls. So what he's saying he's saying...
Oh, I see what you're saying, the presidential race.
Yeah, the presidential race.
Oh, got it.
Bill Clinton saying... Hey,
you never know what's going to happen.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but there's a difference there. That was one-shot election in November. A lot can happen. In this case, there's already votes that are on the books that aren't going to reverse themselves.
Yeah,
they're just
true.
Numbers that are stacked up.
That's
anyways,
true.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
It does
sound like the Democratic leadership has told these guys to play a little nicer. Which is probably
good. And maybe they'll figure out something for Michigan and Florida. Huh?
Yeah.
Maybe they will. What a debacle.
I know. So until Michigan and Florida.
Yeah. So maybe we'll be back for Pennsylvania.
Yeah, exactly. I guess this is our time to sing our goodbye song. We've been rehearsing this for the last 3 weeks. You start.
Goodbye.
Wow, you remembered it.
Goodbye.
That's good. That's exactly it. All right, folks. We'll see you in when we see
couple
you.
Weeks.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.